Hi, I'm Dakota Knotts, and a quick thing before we get into the podcast. My internet was not wanting to cooperate during the recording, thus some areas get a little dicey and maybe unintentionally silent in a spot or two, so just be on the lookout for that. With all of that out of the way, please enjoy as I talk to Dustin Weekly. Dustin is an alumni of West Liberty University and a news producer for Channel 5 News.
So, Dustin, we met in the weirdest way possible, right? Like, do you remember how we met?
If you're talking about the Santa Claus outfit, yes.
Yes. So, for the listeners, what had happened was I was working at Walmart at the time. It was winter of 2018, and I was our Walmart Santa Claus. Dustin had happened to come in with Channel 5 News.
Yeah, there was a Shop with a Cop event I was doing.
Yeah, and so that's how we met. Like, I was just like, all right, cool. They're paying me $11 an hour to be in a Santa suit. And then we just started chatting it up for that reason.
I got to get that shot of Santa waving.
Yeah.
And I just hear, oh, do you go to West Lib? Yeah, I go to West Lib. Cool, stand there and wave at me so I can get a shot of Santa.
Yeah. So, like, and the humor of this to me is, like a year and a half later, now I'm asking you to do a Zoom interview for it. Just, like.
I do have video of that, too, still.
Yeah. Like, I think of that day a lot. For some reason, I think of that day a lot. I'm just like, oh, huh.
Anytime I update my reel on YouTube, like, I have playlists set up, and it's like, reporter packages, producer reel, da 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 da, and you're the first one on the playlist, so it's just a Santa suit just waving at the camera. Like, oh yeah, I remember that. So,
yeah.
Well, once a month I think about it.
So the big reason I want to talk to you today is because you work in the news, and we're currently going through this wild pandemic.
Yes.
So how is that affecting you?
Typically I would like wake up, go to work, you know, we'd have our meetings all together, and then my reporters would go out. I'm a producer there. So, I manage reporters and I do everything in house. I have to booth my show, which means while the show's going on, I sit in the control room and I make sure everything goes okay. And so, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I think is when they decided to send us home.
Mm-hmm.
I work for Gray Television. The company is Gray Television, but I work with it, WDTV specifically. And Gray sends out this email saying, if you have been on a cruise, if you've been to a high-risk area, you can't come back to work for 2 weeks. So the first thing that happened to me was my main anchor. He is very good, and he makes my shows better than – he actually just won a WDBA. So.
Yeah.
Not to puff him up too much, but
yeah, no, that's crazy. Like, congrats to him.
Oh yeah, he's loving it. It's getting to his head, but he went on a cruise, and so we get this email while he's on the cruise, and so I'm not gonna have my main anchor for 2.5 weeks because he can't come back to work. But he finally comes back to work. Okay, so that's the first thing that affected me with the pandemic. And then after he gets back, they say, hey, you guys need to start working from home. So our IT guy's scrambling to get laptops for everybody, and he's scrambling to get my computer set up to produce. And now I just sit at home and do FaceTime calls and produce from home, send tapes from home, and watch the news while I'm on my couch. Can't even boot the show.
So... you mentioned that you're working from home now. So what has that transition been like? Like, is it an easy transition? Is it a weird transition?
It's weird. It's really weird. I admit the first week was really odd to me because news is a real high-stress business. And so during a show, you know, what you're watching on TV, yeah, it looks fine. It looks clean. But behind the scenes, you've got producers running from the newsroom to the control room and throwing scripts at people, and you know, it's a hectic day. But now at home, when 5 o'clock hits, I just sit here and it's not stressful at all. And the weirdest part is I didn't know how to transition from work life to home life like in the same day, because normally I get done off work. I get in my car, I drive home, I call my dad or my grandpa, tell them about my day, and then I come home, make a sandwich or something, sit down and watch TV. Well, now I'm literally, I don't know if you can see it, I'm literally at my desk right now where I work, and as soon as I get done, I stand up and I go over there to the couch and I watch TV. I'm not driving anywhere. It's a weird transition to go from my office to my regular home life within a 10-hour span, so.
Right. So, yeah, no, that is crazy. And I imagine that's just, like, a weird adjustment. But, like, it has its conveniences and perks.
Oh, but, yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. Couch is, like you just said, right there. Like, you can just fall back into it, or, like, after a bad day.
I haven't spent money on gasoline in, like, a week and a half. So that's, I love that. And then, I'll say something weird, a weird situation I have to deal with is I still manage my reporters, and I used to do it on the phone because they're out anyways, but now I have this weird thing where, no, whoops, no, there we go. I have this weird thing where I have a reporter in Morgantown. She's the Morgantown, Mon County, Preston County reporter, mm-hmm. and she has asthma, which obviously is a respiratory thing, and this, yeah. You know, COVID-19 is a respiratory disease, so she's technically an at-risk person. But like, if something big happens in Mon County, I can't send her because she doesn't have a mask. We just got our masks in, so she has a mask now. But I don't want to put her at risk where she could get it and possibly, you know, worsen and have to go to the hospital and stuff. But there was a situation. I don't know if you heard about it. The Sundale Nursing Home in Morgantown. They.
I didn't hear about that.
They have been getting a ton of cases. Mon County was one of the first counties after the executive order the Governor of Justice put in place to be added with. So it was the Eastern Panhandle was put under that executive order. And then, you know, a couple days later, I think, I don't know off the top of my head, Harrison County and Marion County were added to it. Or not Marion County, Mon County. Well, Mon County's got this nursing home with residents and staff who have the coronavirus, which is terrifying because they're at risk, and you know that we've had a few of them actually pass away since that happened. And the dilemma is, you know, normally, heck yeah, I'm going to send my reporter, but I have my Mon County reporter has asthma, and do I really want to send her to a place where she could catch this respiratory disease and then she gets sick? So we can't. I couldn't send her. So it's a lot of FaceTime and phone call interviews right now in the media.
Right. So do you feel like that makes the news a little less interesting at the moment because, like, you're not getting that kind of footage or?
No, we have a lot of, the community's been really helpful. So say there's a story somewhere and we just can't send somebody. We'll say, well, can you take video on your cell phone and send it to us, or take some pictures and send it to us? And they've been so helpful in doing that. And then as far as interviews go, I think my reporters have been getting very creative because you can't go do in-person stuff right now. It's just right. Not safe. And if you can keep from it, just don't do it. So, you know, they've had to get creative doing phone interviews and not just recording audio, but like recording their phone and doing, you know, multiple shots to establish this interview and, you know, FaceTime interviews, Skype interviews, Zoom interviews. And you're not just seeing it in local news either. If you watch network news, anybody, CBS, NBC, Fox, whoever, mm-hmm. you're seeing a lot of remote stuff right now. And every morning I watch KDKA, their morning show. And for a while, their one of their anchors would do anchoring from home. They had a segment called Let's Check In With Who, whatever her name was. I don't remember what her name was.
Right.
But so it's different, but I don't think the quality's dropped. I think it's making people get more creative and how they're interviewing people and how they're getting visuals, because obviously it's a visual media and we need those things.
Right. So to build off of that, what's the most creative you've seen so far regarding your team?
My reporter, Joe Buchanan, shout out facebook.com/JoeBuchananTV. He did a phone interview. He spoke with Shelley Moore Capito, Senator Shelley Moore Capito, and he couldn't get her on video, but he mm-hmm. got her on the phone. went to Google, found a picture of her basically, and then zoomed in on the picture, and then he put that up on a stand and then set the camera up to where you could see her face while hearing the audio from the phone, and he put some floating text on the screen like to let people know that's who you're talking to. And that was, I love that. I told him I loved it, but to keep doing that, I love that. And another thing, before I forget about it, the governor's been doing his address every day. You know, he's been giving his, you know, new cases and, you know, deaths or new executive orders or whatever. So typically, my station being in Bridgeport, Harrison County, we just don't have the resources to drive down to Charleston and go to a press conference whenever he decides to have a press conference.
Right.
Well, now he's doing these virtual Zoom press conferences. And so we'll get an email the day before the press conference saying the governor is going to talk at this time. If you want to be a part of it, shoot this guy an email and he'll get you in the Zoom call. So now, a TV station, you know, hours away from Charleston can now be at the press conference through technology. I kind of wonder, I'm not going to get my hopes up, but I kind of wonder if they are going to continue to do something like this after the pandemic's over, because we know we can do it. So why not continue to do it to allow, you know, stations like mine to get access to something like that?
Right. I was actually just about to ask you about that, because I was sitting here thinking, I was like, well, I mean, we know we can do it. So what's preventing us doing it moving forward after this has all been settled?
Well, I talked to Senator Capito like Wednesday, I think. And I had seen that they were doing, the National Guard is trying to get telehealth to rural West Virginia. So I don't know if you know what that is. It's just healthcare appointments over the phone, basically, and or over FaceTime or whatever. But a lot of West Virginia doesn't have good internet. Like broadband is a huge issue in the state. Mm-hmm. And Senator Capito has been on the front with something called Capito Connect, where she's trying to get that taken care of in West Virginia, you know, political blah, blah, blah. But the National Guard tested the other day in Boone County and a couple other counties. I can't remember. They were taking these satellites out and they were setting up satellites so that rural West Virginians could get cell phone service so that they could wirelessly talk to their doctor instead of having to go in and risk getting sick at a hospital. And so when I was talking to Senator Capito, you know, I say, hey, you know, this is a solution they're looking at during a pandemic. So what happens when this is over? Like, do these people just lose the new cell phone service they got? And do they just lose the internet they got? Is this something we could do, you know, in the future? I got the workaround on that one. she basically said, if it works, why not continue it? If it works, that's what makes me happy, is basically what she said. So yeah, like after this is all over, you know, if I can work from home right now, so if I want to keep doing that, why can't I continue to do it? You know, right. There's an argument to be made there.
I mean, do you miss the work environment? Like, do you miss the station and stuff like that?
I miss seeing my friends. We used to go to trivia night every Thursday. Mm-hmm. We can't do that anymore. So now we do like Zoom party night every Thursday. But I miss seeing my friends. I miss the excitement of being in the control room during a show. Like if something goes wrong, I have a matter of seconds to fix it. And now I just got to sit at home and watch it burn if something goes wrong. I hate not being in control. And when I'm in studio, I can do more creative things. Like right now, we have to stay social distance in the studio. So I have one anchor at the desk. I have the weather person over at the weather center, and I have another anchor over at the monitor on the other side of the studio. Mm-hmm. And what I used to be able to do is I could roll 80-inch monitors in there, and I could have my anchor demonstrate something on this monitor and then have him walk to a different one while the camera follows them. Like, I used to love doing that stuff, but I had to be there to explain it to the cameraman, first of all. Right. And a lot of times I would run the camera because I have trust issues, and I have to be there for the control room so that we can run through it a few times, make sure it's good before the show starts. And now I simply can't do things that I used to do, and I miss being able to get creative. I miss the adrenaline of an hour and a half of news, as nerdy as that sounds. And I miss seeing my friends every single day and getting hands-on with their work and stuff.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. So when I met you, this just got me all thinking. When I met you, were you a producer at the time? Or were you...
No, I was desperate for a job. And I was currently, what did they call that? I was working at United Hospital Center. A housekeeper. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
It's basically a glorified janitor. At least back then it was. Right now, that's a critical job.
Right.
What you would do, like, I only had to deal with this a couple times. Some people would come in with some really bad diseases, and my job, it was like me and another person would have to put on not hazmat gear, I guess PPE, you know, personal protective equipment. We would have to go in there and we'd have to disinfect the room. We'd have to disinfect the mattresses, throw away the sheets, you know, throw the pillows out and like just get everything spotless, wheel in this machine that emits UV light that disinfects everything. It smells like, I don't know, like you lit bleach on fire when you're done with it. And
that's crazy.
Now they're actually, it's you have 30 seconds to leave the room or you go blind. That's what they told us. But they're actually using that machine now at that hospital to disinfect masks for doctors and nurses. So like they'll hang everybody's masks in a room and then wheel that machine in there, press the button, leave, and disinfect everybody's masks because obviously everybody's running out of those. But no, I was a reporter when we met. I was only working Saturdays and Sundays. I was getting paid garbage money. I was living in a trailer in Ritchie County somewhere. And one day, our producer of 5 years decided she was leaving for D.C. And my boss calls me while I'm actually at the hospital working. Says, hey, do you want to be a producer? And I said, is it full time? He said, yeah. And I said, yes. But I had never produced a lick in my life. I used to have class with Chris Lee and, I forgot her name. What's her name?
Oh, Dakota. Teresa Gretchen.
Teresa, oh my Teresa, God, yeah. I'm a bad student. Anyways, yeah, Teresa. She always tried to get me to produce shows, and I would find a way to weasel my way out of it. Like, everybody was assigned a certain week to produce. And for some reason, I just never did it, and I was basically a floor manager my entire college career and just sat there and cue, go, you know. And I told my boss I've never produced a lick in my life, and he said, okay, well, we'll teach you. I had 2 weeks of training, and then I started it, and it was horrible. I had to produce an hour and a half of news because that's three shows, the 5, the 5:30, and the 6. Every CG in my show had a misspelling in it. Video wouldn't have audio in it. there would be black screens. It was awful, but I've been doing it for almost 2 years now, and I, not to toot my own horn, but I like to think I'm a pretty good producer now. I also found the spell check function on my, producing software. So
that's genuinely one of my biggest fears is like anytime I make anything and I think it's going to like go somewhere or like I have to put it up, I immediately get terrified of spelling because like I like a triple check spelling.
Oh, me too, dude. Yeah, it's so scary because like sometimes there are some pretty misfortunate spelling errors, and you could mean to write you know county, and then you type something a little more inappropriate than that.
Yeah, a little more yikes.
Yeah, and then thousands of people are seeing it on the air, and you're getting emails and phone calls, and I will never forget this. I, for some reason, have a problem with the I before E except after C concept.
Well, to be fair, a lot of things break that rule.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, well, it's justifiable.
I did not do it correctly on our broadcast, and this old woman calls. I can't. I'm not a fan of viewer calls. I love informative viewer calls when they tell us good things and like give us story ideas. But when they call just to be mean, I don't like those. She called and she's laughing. I pick up the phone. I go 5 News Fox 10 and I hear this old woman laughing. I'm like, can I help you? She goes, have you never heard I before E except after C? I'm sorry, what?
Oh,
you spelled that wrong. I was like, okay, man, whatever. Have a nice day. Click.
Okay. What's your favorite story of just, like, somebody calling in?
Oh, boy. We get a lot of weird ones, that's for sure. I think I've got a couple, there's a UFO up here above Elkins. You guys need to send somebody down here. Sir, I'm not going to send somebody 2 hours away to look at a UFO. we get a lot of legal calls that it's hard for us to look into, and people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll say, hey, there's corruption in the Harrison County Magistrate Court. The judge is corrupt and da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, what's your proof? Well, I don't have any proof. I just wanted to tell you. Okay, do you have a lead that I can start looking into, or somebody who was affected? No, I just wanted to tell you. You gonna do anything about it? I said, sir, I don't got anything to go off of. I can't just go up to the courthouse and accuse the judge of being corrupt. You know, and the funny thing is, I kind of blew that call off. And then I'd say about a month and a half ago, that judge got arrested for embezzlement. She stole like tens of thousands of dollars from a school. So it was a good tip. He just didn't have anything.
Right.
I think some of the best tips, though, I don't know if you've heard about Fairmont Regional Medical Center, the hospital in our area. Well, my area. Well, it shut down. You know OVMC up there in the Northern Panhandle?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so the company that owned OVMC also owned Fairmont Regional down here, and they shut it down like without any warning, and like 600 people lost their jobs. And I'm just sitting in the newsroom, the phone call rings, I go, hello, this is 5 News. I'm about to lose my job down here at the hospital, 600 of us are. I'm like, excuse me? Will you talk to a reporter, please? So she gave us that tip when we broke that story. I think we were one of the first in the state to break it. So
Oh wow. The
viewers definitely helped. It still happens today. I mean, there's few people in the newsroom, but we still get phone calls and we get tips, and viewer help is, they don't know the help they give us sometimes. I'll say that.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it's really cool. I think it's really cool that people in like the community are so active with the news. Because I guess part of me had just never imagined how active, like, people were contributing to the news. Like, I guess my perception of it was just, like, you were assigning stories or telling people, hey, find these stories, and not they were necessarily coming to you, and now more so than ever.
Well, if you ever get into, like, I don't know what you're wanting to do in life, but a lot of the stories we get are from Facebook. Like, we get a lot of Facebook messages. And we follow community pages like rant rooms and stuff where people are just complaining.
Uh-huh.
And you just basically follow those pages, and then you like see a comment like, my road's falling apart and the DOT isn't doing anything. You just get in the comments and say, hey, I'm a reporter with WDTV. Do you want to talk? And stories are easier to find than you think. And my advice to anybody getting into the business, go to that station. Find the best reporter, whoever the best reporter is, go to their Facebook and see what they're following, and then follow the exact same things. Because then every story idea they're pitching, you're going to know about, and you're going to pitch it to.
Fair enough. I hadn't even thought about that. That's such a creative way to actually just like pursue the news and get stories and stuff.
Social media is huge. I went to a producer conference not too long ago, and they were talking about how, like, over probably, I don't remember the stat, but it's a high percentage of people get their news from Facebook. They don't get it from TV. So the newsroom I work in is a web first newsroom. Everything that comes in, you get it online before you get it in the show, because that's where people are getting their news.
Right.
And if there's a story that broke, unless it's huge, like that Clarksburg VA story where they were killing veterans in that hospital. Unless it's something like that, if it's been posted on Facebook since 10 o'clock in the morning, then don't put it at the top of your show. Everybody's already seen it. Everybody already knows about that story.
Right.
They've been seeing it for 10 hours. So Facebook's huge now, and it's getting bigger than actual television. I shouldn't move that microphone. Our group of people who watch are actually middle-aged moms with a college degree, two kids, and are very active on Facebook. That's who we're trying to make news for. So a lot of times we'll make the joke, you know, a story will come in and we'll say, you think middle-aged moms would like a story about blah, 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 you know? So I don't know, man. I'm not a middle-aged mom. Sorry, I got to charge my phone. It's dying. Yeah. Do, do, do. There we go. I'm good.
Alrighty. That's, you know, I don't know what demographic I was expecting, but that feels very right.
Yeah, it's either that or really old people, because we don't watch the news.
Right.
You know, we get our news on Facebook and we get our news on YouTube and Twitter and wherever else. But that's something. Facebook is kind of sketchy because it's like you can put anything you want on there. You really got to check your sources and check your dates on articles. If you see an article, open that thing up and see if it was from 2016 and not yesterday. We've gotten a lot of issues with, there's a website you can go to and you can make it look like a post from WDTV.com and you can make it, it'll lie. Like when this pandemic started, somebody made a fake article under our name. It had our logo. It looked exactly like our website. And it said, two dead in Harrison County from COVID-19. And this is when cases were still in Seattle, Washington. It hasn't even reached the coast over here.
Right.
And we're getting calls and messages and, oh, is this true? You guys are reporting this? We had to actually go on the news and say, hey, when you see stuff on Facebook, check your sources.
Right.
Just so people, because people thought we were lying to them because some stupid website. And people take advantage of this pandemic to make money and scam people and get clicks, basically. And it's a shame, honestly.
What was it? Because that reminded me, like, I was browsing through something, and I think one of the, like, highlights was there was a guy that bought a bunch of hand sanitizer. Just, like, boxes, like, bought the place out, and then, like, posted on social media, because I think he was gonna, like, try and sell it, but upcharge it. And, like, whatever state he was in was immediately like, no, we're seizing this. You can't do this.
In West Virginia, when the governor put a state of emergency in place, that puts in place a price gouging order or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. Mm-hmm. But Attorney General Patrick Morrissey, we talked to him about it, I think, actually the other day. Whenever that order was put in place, 10 days after that order is put in place, nothing can rise past 10% on their prices. So if you go out and buy 1,000 rolls of toilet paper and try selling them for $20 a roll, the attorney general can send the state police to your house and arrest you.
Oh, that's crazy. I had no idea something like that was even a thing.
That is super illegal. Speaking of state police, this is scary. I think this is scary. And so the governor put that it's not a travel ban, but like if you went to New York right now and came back to West Virginia, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. And if you don't and your neighbors call the police and say, hey, Dakota went to New York, it's all over his Facebook. And he's out grocery shopping. The state police can come to your house and tell you to not do that. And if you don't listen, they can cite you. And if you still don't listen, they can arrest you for obstructing justice.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I haven't heard of anybody actually having that happen to them. We had something in my coverage area yesterday. Where this woman and her kid in Marion County, her son was her. I don't know if it was a son, but her kid was showing symptoms, and they got tested. Well, they said, Marion County was put under the executive order, And if you got tested and you're told to quarantine, you have to quarantine or the police can enforce it. And so this kid got tested, and for days, this mother didn't let the kid follow the quarantine.
Yeah.
And the mother also didn't follow the quarantine, so the police gave her a citation.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's, we get messages all the time like, oh, it's, you know, the military's going to be taken over. Da, 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 da. It's like, no, you're getting a ticket. It's like if you were speeding on the highway. they're not going to throw you into federal prison.
That's,
it's a crazy time right now. Things are getting,
yeah, it really is.
It's people just got to follow the rules, man. You just got to follow your social distancing. And no, if you're in an executive order county, which I think is up to 8 now, you can't have groups of 5 or more people. Da, 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 da. Like, I just got back from Walgreens, and there's somebody standing outside counting the people go in. After 5, they cut you off and make you stand in line until a person comes out.
I've heard several places are doing that. I think I heard Kroger might be doing that as well.
Mm-hmm. Kroger, Walmart.
Yeah.
Obviously, Walgreens. The food line I go to, they're only allowing, I think they're doing it by square footage of the store. They're only allowing 42 people in at a time, and you have to come in a certain way and you have to go out a certain way.
Right. I think Walmarts have even changed their hours. They're not open like 24 hours anymore because of this. And I was like, yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. Cause well, they can't stock the shelves.
Yeah.
So they gotta close so they can get the shelves restocked. And people are, I don't understand this panic buying. I've put it in my shows, like, to say, people, stop panic buying. And cause I can't buy toilet paper, man. I went down to the store the other day. I need toilet paper. The shelves are empty. Like, why do these people think they need to buy so much toilet paper? And I've gotten an arguments of friends of mine who say, well, you're in the media, you're scaring people, you're enticing this panic buying. And I say, well, people should be scared. If you're not scared, you're not going to take precautions.
Right. And
I said, but I have put in my shows where it's specifically saying, just buy what you need for a couple weeks. And, you know, you can go to the grocery store, just try to minimize that. Don't buy everything, because, like, what if some, you know, 80-some-year-old woman goes in there, she needs bread, she needs toilet paper, she can't get it because you are in your mid-30s and you decided to buy 50, like, rolls of toilet paper.
Right. I've seen some locations even implement, like, hours specifically for the elderly, yeah.
Yeah, I think the one I remember is Dollar General. It's like their first hour of shopping is for elderly.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen, like, what is it? I went to the liquor store the other day, and they after 5 people get in, they lock the door. They, like, put the key in, they lock the door. And you, like, I was the 5th person to walk in, so I didn't know they did this. And I just walk in, and I hear this woman walks past me, I hear a click. I turn around, she's pulling a key out of the door. It's like, what is about to happen?
Right. That to me is just wild as well, because you're kind of like just going about your business, do, getting whatever you wanted, and then all of a sudden, click.
Yeah, that's the only time you see that is in, like, an action movie where the guy walks in and the bad guy walks over and locks the door, and then they try to fight him. I thought I was about to get my butt kicked by, like, a store clerk or something. Wild times, man.
Wild times, yeah.
We'll never forget it, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. I personally think when all of this does move, like, when all of this does pass, that we'll kind of, like, reflect on it and go, all right, these are the changes that need to be made.
Because, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We ran a story yesterday about life after COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, people are getting so used to being 6 feet apart, and mask, like, seeing somebody in a mask isn't jarring anymore. You just, it's like seeing a normal person, you know, and you can't shake hands and stuff. Like, they were talking about, it's going to take a while for people to get back to normal. Like, you're going to see somebody after this is all over, and you're not going to shake their hand. You're going to be carrying hand sanitizer with you 24/7.
Right.
You're going to feel naked without your mask on. And it's going to be a big adjustment when it's all over. And it's not even close to being over. It's just getting started here in the U.S. We haven't hit our peak yet. West Virginia is set to hit. It's something you ought to look into. There's a study by the University of Washington. I don't know if you've seen it. They charted the projections of cases and deaths in mm-hmm. every single state. And you can do a drop down menu and go to West Virginia. And a week ago, they had our peak cases or peak deaths in June. And they at the end of all this in August, we'd flattened out in August. And it said we were going to have 500 deaths in West Virginia. That is a lot. Well, since then, obviously we put in stronger ways to keep people to social distance, especially with the executive orders in like 8 counties. And now they're projecting as low as 76 in 2 weeks. Not 2 weeks, sorry, June. But we're set to hit our peak in 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Ooh.
Yeah, scary stuff. But the numbers are going down because people are actually listening. And it blows my mind the people who don't believe in it because the numbers show, you know, people are actually social distancing and the numbers are going down. So
right. No, that's scary. I think I'd heard about the study. I hadn't looked into it. And I wasn't aware that, like, it was going to tell you when the peak was and, like, mm-hmm. the death count. That's a lot to take in.
That's the scary part. We did something in the – I like – whenever I'm producing shows, I like to use my monitors, and I like to – because it's easier to show people something than it is to tell somebody something. Mm-hmm. So we pulled that chart up and, like, actually showed the peak moving up and saying, like, you know, on this date right here, we could have 500 dead people in West Virginia of this virus. But – everybody's been following the social distancing stuff, and that number has dropped drastically because people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's what happened in China. People did what they were supposed to do, and now they're starting to reopen things. So people just need to be careful, stay at home, work from home like I'm having to do, and don't get this thing. It's scary. Your cats can get it.
Wait, what?
Did you hear about that tiger in the Bronx Zoo?
No, I didn't.
A bunch of tigers have the coronavirus in New York. And there's a study saying, like, if you have coronavirus, you should quarantine yourself from your pets.
No, this is my first time of hearing that. And that's a lot to take in. How do you combat that in, like, an animal, like a tiger?
And the vet tested him for, I forget what the vet tested him for, but it came back negative. And they tested this. First of all, here's my thing. We're having trouble getting tests. We're testing mm-hmm. tigers, but that's beside the point. They test this tiger, and the tiger tests positive for coronavirus. And all the other tigers are showing the same symptoms. So they're saying that cats are more susceptible to it than dogs are, which is a sad day.
Right. Huh. That's okay. That's mind blowing, and I'm still kind of like processing all of that.
I gotta pull that. Oh, my keyboard's too loud. I was gonna pull the story up. Yeah, some tiger can't breathe. Got the snot nose.
Sorry, the audio had to be cut here due to poor internet connection. I hope you guys enjoyed the show and stay tuned for more content. This program has been brought to you by West Liberty's audio documentary course, Com 362. A big thank you to Jeff Feaster and WGLZ for hosting this program.